confines of an abandoned radio station in the secluded ghost town of High Strangeness. It's just outside of Area 51. It's time for full disclosure of the topics they told us were off limits. Good evening and good morning to some of you. Hello, everybody. I'm Connie Willis, and this is Coast to Coast AM from the 840 WHAS studios of iHeartMedia in Louisville, Kentucky. Yep, Kentucky. Home of the glowing ghost of the Nada Tunnel. That's around the Red River Gorge. 11 seconds of some sort of figure right around the tunnel that's pretty scary from what I hear. Also, home of the Spotsville Monster. That's in Henderson County, Kentucky. You're going to hear more about that sometime soon with Beyond Belief and Nori, along with Chris McGill, who's going to tell you about that. He used to also be a guest host here on Coast to Coast. The Kelly UFO Invasion in Kelly, Kentucky, also home here. The Little Green Men, goblin-like characters. They terrorized the Sutton family. That was back in 1955. That was one of the most famous ET encounters ever. Geraldine Sutton Stith, Lucky Stith's daughter. She wrote the book Alien Legacy. And let me tell you, Kentucky's full of all sorts of good, scary stuff, so I know where I'm coming from. Again, Connie Willis here on Coast to Coast AM. Tonight, we're going to be talking to James Fay, better known as Bobo. You know him with Finding Bigfoot, because I never knew James Fay. Now we know why he went to Bobo. Hey, so stick around because he's going to also stick around for open lines after we talk with him tonight to answer your questions. So, everybody, turn off the lights and join me for another interesting evening of conversation, much-needed education, and the chance that we might get a little closer to the truth of what lurks amongst us and what is beyond. I'm Connie Willis. Tonight, this is Coast to Coast AM. You're listening to Coast AM. Hi, everybody. I'm Connie Willis. Tonight, we're going to be talking Bigfoot, one of my favorite subjects. And wow, have all the emails come in for questions for this man, James Fay, Bobo of Finding Bigfoot. I'm going to go ahead and bring him right in because I want to read the bio that I have of him and kind of laugh with him about it and know what exactly some of these things are. So, Bobo, how are you?
Good. How are you, Connie?
I'm good. Welcome to the show. It's great to get to talk with you on air tonight.
Thanks for having me.
Okay. You ready for this? Okay. I got to read this. You got to talk to me about this. Okay. So James Fay, we got to talk about that definitely at one point, has been interested in the Bigfoot mystery for as long as he can remember. While in college, you spent downtime in the woods attempting to locate a Bigfoot. So you did that first. Then you took logging jobs on a Native American cruise to absorb their knowledge of Sasquatch. And then in addition, you increased your Bigfoot knowledge by taking jobs building roads and commercially fishing in Northern California, I was going to say Carolina. And you saw your first one on an investigation with, we'll get to that one. But so really, you did logging and went that route?
Yeah, and it wasn't, I didn't go fishing to see a Bigfoot. That was more so I could, have free time because, you bust your ass for a couple months and you can take time off. It's seasonal. So I'd always have big gaps. So it worked out pretty good. But yeah. The logging jobs were, I like being outside and working in the woods. And I figured, John Green had said that was the best way to see one. So I thought, all right, that's what I'm going to do.
That's exactly right. Well, so where did you go to college?
Humboldt State University in Northern California.
And what were you studying?
I changed my major a bunch of times, but I ended up going to poli-sci.
Oh, wow. Has that helped you at all in the Bigfoot world?
Not really. I mean, maybe in some small ways here and there, but not anything direct.
Did you ever think that's what you were going to do? I mean, when were you into the Bigfoot for the first time? When were you into, being interested in it?
Honestly, I remember being probably about 5 years old, and I don't know how I saw it, but I saw the PG clip.
And, yeah.
And I'd seen Planet of the Apes, and like even being five, I was like, that's not a guy. That's not a costume.
With the Planet of the Apes or with...
Planet of the Apes, I thought it was a costume. The PG didn't look like a costume.
Not at all. Not at all. That was, that's crazy. And I got to tell you, and you can probably agree with this, when I see footage that I think is real, it's usually because it's very similar to the Patterson-Gimlin film, because it's just casually walking along and just kind of looks at you and you know, walks away.
Yeah, it's hard to, yeah, because I know there's some you know, real footage out there that I know the people that shot it, they know it's real, but you can't tell it's real because it's just not good enough quality, or it's too obscured by shadow, or there's too much, you know, the camera's focusing on some leaves in the foreground or whatever it may be. So, but there's a lot of stuff out there. Like, we just met a kid yesterday here in Oregon. We're filming out down South Oregon right now, and his buddy has a great series of shots on a game camera of a Bigfoot walking up to the camera, stalking a herd of elk. The elk in the foreground are setting up the game cam, and you see this big black, I haven't seen it yet, but as it's described by the people that saw it that were there, is, yeah, it's big, and when it comes up, it's maybe 40 feet from the camera, 45 feet from the camera, and its head's obscured in some branches, but you can see from, like, the mid-thigh up to the neck, and, you know, you can see the individual hairs in the chest, and they said it's better than anything they've seen on our show.
Really?
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff like that, a lot of stuff like that out there. A friend of mine's great uncle, just west of Redding, about 45 minutes up into the mountains there in Northern California, took on his iPhone. He's an old guy that got an iPhone, and he was sitting out in his front porch, and he'd see this female Bigfoot fairly rare, you know, catch glimpses of it pretty rarely, but this one day it walked out in broad daylight. His house is on an old landing for a logging show out there, and, you know, it's a big flat, and it was just walking across, and he filmed it with the iPhone, but he loves his peace and quiet, and he won't let anyone take a copy of it or take it to show anybody. And, you know, I've talked to two people that have seen it, and they said, oh, it's amazing. And but there's so much stuff like that, it's incredible. Like, there's so many people that have game cam photos and, you know, just other kind of pictures that just say, well, I didn't know who to show it to, or I didn't think anyone would believe me, or the most common thing is, I don't want people coming to my hunting area or my property.
Yeah, and I can totally understand that, because, you know, you have people in the field that are really wanting to see one and really wanting to research in a positive way, and then you have other people that feel that they want to go and hunt it and show the body for the proof. And how do you feel about that?
Oh, I'm totally anti-no-kill.
I think that's terrible. I mean, I understand what they're saying, but I'm just not into that either. There's got to be other ways we can do it. We're a pretty humane society. I mean, and we're advanced. We know how to, I don't know. I don't even know to go the tranquilizer way. I mean, when you've been around these in some way, shape, or form, that's, you don't even think about that. That is not even your thought. All you want to do is be around them more. As you know, there's just something different when you're in that vibe in the vicinity of one or more. And that's the last thing you want to do. It's like you're not always afraid. I mean, you do get frightened, and, you know, tell me what you feel when you're around them. But you also have the sense of, these things are so advanced and so intelligent. It freaks out your mind, because it changes the way you think. It changes your perspective. It changes everything you've ever known about life. It really does. Is that true with you?
Mm-hmm. I'd say, though, to your point about the tranquilizer gun, that's kind of not really a realistic option, because, A, we don't know what their metabolism is. We don't know what their heart rate is. And, B, you got to have a dose for a certain size animal, you know, like how many pounds, and it's got to be pretty close. So either you're going to have too much, maybe kill it, or not enough, or you just make it mad, you know, stick a dart and it's mad, and it's not going to have enough dose to put it down, you know. I just don't see, like, I don't know, I just don't see anyone getting that close with a dart gun and putting and having the right size dose in the dart and getting that shot off. And yeah, I just don't see it happening.
Hey, I just threw it out there, all right? Give me a break, all right? Okay, I'm just trying. No, I just don't want them to kill them. So if you're just joining us here, it's Coast to Coast AM, and we're talking to Bobo, finding Bigfoot that you've seen on Animal Planet. So let me ask you this, Bo. If you came across one and for whatever reason you could capture it in some way, how would that be, and then what would you do at that point?
I don't think I would. I mean, I you never know until the situation arises. I think the only way you ever could is if you found one that was wounded or super sick or really old and feeble or just, you know, like an infant or something. Because other than that, I just don't say you'd ever really capture one alive.
Well, let's just say you were around one in an area, not captured, but just you and it. And you had one of my friends, Pat Rantz, a big Bigfooter, he's always, his dream or goal is just to sit down with one in front of him, and I think he said play a game of chess or checkers, which is, you know, if you know him, it's quite funny. But he just wants to hang. And most people, that's what they want to do, just sit there and have the other one sit there, just look at each other, just learn each other. So let's say you're in some sort of, I don't know, let's just say that happened. But, I mean, you know, what would we do anyway? Just if we ever did get one of these where it wasn't running off, then what? You know, if you had 5 minutes right there in the same field with it, looking right at you.
I've talked to people that have, and, most people, you know, say they sense some sort of nonverbal communication from them, like, you know, like they can feel their intent, like, you know, they're just curious, and, you know, I've talked to a lot of people that said they've pointed guns at them and, like, looked at them through a scope as they're glassing them to see what they are, and they put the scope on them, and they said they look at them like, what are you pointing that at me for? I'm not going to hurt you. What are you doing? You know, that kind of thing.
Oh, wow. The mind speak, huh?
Yeah.
Have you ever had that?
Well, you know, I think, I thought I have, but it seems like it. But also, I've talked to a couple of scientists that have said, you know, they could have like a really strong pheromone that when you might not even know you're smelling it, and it kicks off reactions in your brain. Like we might have, you know, just having evolved alongside these things, you know, we might have some deep-seated inner, you know, like instinct about, you know, your hair goes up and all that sort of thing when you get a whiff of them, because it's just instinctual, we don't even know it, and that your brain can produce these thoughts for you. You know, like that's a possibility, or it could just be your own brain playing tricks on you. But I mean, I've had a couple times where I thought I got just real clear, loud messages from them, like that were kind of shocking, you know, and it was usually, get the hell out of here.
Well, you know, what are some of the other ones? Because I'm going to tell you what I think of those scientists. I think they need to get out there in the field and experience it themselves and realize if what they think, you know, what they want to throw out there, which is, you know, the normal kind of thing, to get out there and see what is beyond, you know, the, you know, outside of the box, because I know I've heard them, and I know MindSpeak is real. And I was amazed at the things, too, that I've heard. So when you said shocking, it makes me think that you probably have, too, because it's certainly not your own thought when it happens. And it's not a thought you would come up with. So what else have you heard?
We were tracking this, we'll assume a mother. I've never seen them, but I've heard them a lot, and I've smelled them and seen tracks from them. But we were tracking a 15.5-inch track and then 7 and 9-inch tracks. We were kind of pushing back in where I figured they were living on this one hill. And as we got closer and closer, I just got this strong, like it just was like almost like a external audio voice. Like I wasn't hearing like voices, but I mean, I wasn't like hearing voices, but it was like just a clear message. Like with it's hard to explain. It just said like, what are you doing? Why are you bothering us? Leave us alone. And then it kind of, I just got this message like, you know, I'm out here with my kids and you guys are bumming them out or whatever. You know, it was just kind of one of those messages like, get away. And I kind of got like a headache from it pretty like instantly. And one other time I was at, you know, Tom Powell is he's kind of like a UFOologist, Bigfoot guy out of Portland.
Yes, I know the
Tom
name.
Powell. I was in his backyard a couple years ago. It was before the show. Cliff and I did like a, Cliff and I spent like 14 months just going up and down the West Coast and squatching all these different places. And it was one of the, we'd stop in at Powell's when we were in that area, and we were in Powell's backyard. And we went on his hike around an area And I was surprised they came in there because it's, you know, they're only 5-acre pieces and it's not big wild woods right there. It's, I mean, there's woods and they can definitely stay concealed, but we went around and howled and called and heard some weird howls in the distance. And we went back to Powell's and went to bed. And then I heard a branch break coming up the tree line behind his house. And we were sleeping out in the field. Then another louder one closer, maybe, you know, 50 yards down. The first one was maybe 100. And then right before, then all of a sudden I got this just the loudest, clearest message, kind of like I could kind of see it. I thought I could see it too, like almost. And it, I just heard, this was like just loud, clear as day in my head. It was, we're here. And then this huge branch break, well, not huge, but, you know, probably bigger than my wrist, just snap. And they let us know we were there.
Yeah, I've heard that many times from people. I think you've heard it too from what you're describing, because it's like you're hearing words and sentences, however, you don't actually hear them. It's conveyed
right
as a message all at once, right? It's like all thrown together, but you get it.
Yeah, and a few times I've gotten like a visual, and which I totally know, like, you know, psychiatrists or psychologists listening, or and they're saying, well, that's your brain filling in the, you know, this.
No.
It could be. It could be. I mean, everything's possible, right? So that's a possibility too. So I just say, I've had those experiences, but maybe like the clinician types are right. Maybe that's what it is, but it sure doesn't seem like it when you're out there. It seems like that they're giving you straight, like they can project thoughts, like that you can get the message pretty clear.
It's amazing. I mean, when I have gone out and, you know, I guess I didn't know about that. I had studied UFOs and ETs and hybrids and abduction and all sorts of stuff prior to learning more about the Bigfoot. And before that, it was all ghosts and, you know, remote viewing and all sorts of different things along the way. But when I got into the Bigfoot thing, I had no idea about the mind speak. But in the ET world, it's telepathy, right? So when I was interviewing people, talking to people, and you know, just kind of learning it, because I love to ask questions, obviously, that's, you know, hints here, right? But it was funny because people were talking very similar to what ET type people talk about and abductees talk about. You know, they see lights in the sky, and then there was this telepathy, however it was called, mind speak. And one of the really interesting things was, you know, thank goodness I had been taught by people that had been doing it for decades, and which is great, you know, when you're first learning about it. But they were also cool enough to not tell me everything, right? They just kind of would warn me of things, and they wanted to make sure before I ever did any outings with them that I wasn't someone that was going to try to tell their secret spots and do anything to hurt it in any way. But one of the times that I was out there, I was in one of the vehicles, and I had just seen, I'd seen the eye shine and snapping and breaking of logs, and it just, you know, one walking through the woods. Holy cow, that'll freak you out. That right there alone will make you, And but I'd ask myself, I'm sitting in this vehicle in the middle of this, you know, I don't want to disclose the area, but I had seen enough, heard enough. I was exhausted from it. I was just, oh my gosh, these things are real. And everybody else was in the field looking, and I sat in the vehicle, and they had actually said, okay, if you're going to sit here alone, I'll leave the keys in the vehicle and you can keep it on. I was like, no, I don't want to keep it on. I don't want them to show up here, right?
Huh.
Well, then I thought after they left, they looked at me like, well, okay. So they turned off the motor, and then I sat there and I realized, holy cow, I'm a sitting duck. Turn on the motor, right? So I turned on the motor and I sat there and I thought, you know, I wonder why these things don't want to show themselves. That was my question. And I got an answer, Bobo, and I would have never thought it. I would have never thunk it at all. And it said, and get this. It said, I wonder why they don't want to show themselves, why they want to hide. And the answer was, that came into my head as a message, as a sentence, but a message as a whole, it was because our looks, I think it was like, because our looks frighten you, and that makes us sad. I kid you not. And it was as if, hey, you know, we scare you because of our looks, and it makes us sad, as in it was emotional. And I asked some people later about it, and they said, oh, my gosh, we've heard that before. These things have feelings. They have feelings. I love it. So, yeah. So stick around, everybody. You're listening to Coast to Coast AM, and we are talking with Bobo of Finding Bigfoot. And we're going to be taking some questions later, too, so you can talk to him as well. Thanks for joining us here, Coast to Coast AM. Coast to Coast AM with Connie Willis here that you're listening to. And we have Bobo with us tonight. And we're going to be also having open lines, and you're going to be able to ask him questions if you'd like. But I want to remind you, those of you out there that are single and looking for somebody special, and you also want to talk paranormal with people and not be afraid to do it, well, you need someone of like mind. So, hey, look what Nori came up with. What a great idea. Paranormal date. You are not alone. I love it. That everything about it is perfect. We've got over 30,000 members already. It's free to sign up. And if you go in for a nice discount, use code TURKEY. Okay, TURKEY. That's the secret, all right? And by the way, go to coasttocoastam.com right now. And it's really cool. They're taking a poll. It's like, if you want to find love, we want to know what you think. And, you know, that's what the paranormal date's all about. But if you'd be interested in attending a paranormaldate.com event in Vegas next year, well, then you can vote yes or no. I think that's awesome. So, wow, you can meet people of like mind. That's so hard in the paranormal world. So, hey, Bobo, more to come here on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. I'm Connie Willis, and we are discussing Bigfoot with Finding Bigfoot's Bobo. Hey, Bobo, right before the break, we were talking about how there was emotion behind this Bigfoot with the message that I got from him. So you agree, and you've heard that as well?
Yeah, but I probably got a little bit of a different message than you, as I established an antagonistic relationship.
What's that say about you? What's that mean, Bobo? What's that mean?
Well, it was the only way I could figure out how to get him to come around.
Yeah?
I wouldn't recommend it.
What is your best way to get him to come around? What's the trick?
You know, lately, I think it's kind of changed because the popularity of the show, and, you know, every kid out in the woods, every redneck, every guy hunting, you know, not everyone, but I mean, it happens pretty frequently now in a lot of places, you know, people in remote areas, you know, knocking and howling. That I don't think it's as effective as it was like 10, 15 years ago when they weren't used to hearing people imitating them. You know, they're much more likely to reply.
Yeah, that could be true. Yeah.
The stuff I've had happen lately has just been being out there and just being camping. Or we might be out there to go squatching, but we haven't done any sounds. We're just out there.
Yeah, it seems like to me. I mean, you've done this for way longer than me. But man, when I do it, it's intense. But it seems like to me, when you just sit there, mind your own business, they come and they're more curious about you, and they want to watch you because, you know, it's kind of like watching TV for them. That's entertainment.
Yep.
You agree that they're curious creatures? Because I think they're very curious.
Well, yeah, they're super smart, and I mean, you probably get bored just watching raccoons and stuff. I mean, what? There's no weirder species on Earth, you know,
than us. I agree with you there. So what do you think these things are? Do you think they're animal? Do you think they're human? Do you think they're something extraterrestrial, dimensional? What do you think they are?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it really matters what any of us think they are. They are what they are, and we don't know exactly. But I think they're, you know, in like the Homo branch. That's something that's not known, and it's tough to say, you know, because we've talked to people that have shot them, and you know, I've talked to people that have, you know, claimed they've killed them, and there's a couple good stories, like that one, I don't know if you're familiar with that one, up in Canada in like 1941, the 17-year-old German kid shot one. He thought it was a grizzly bear. And
No, please tell me.
It's in the BFRO database. I think it was Alberta, I think. Or I can't say for sure which. I haven't seen that report in a long time, but they spent a lot of time working with this guy, and he did sketches with a forensic sketch artist, and you know, his family was German immigrants, and it was World War II, and they're up in Canada, and you know, it was really, it was 1942. It was 41 or 42, and he was 17 out hunting, and he shot what he thought was a brown bear, and he hit it right in the spine, and it just dropped, and he, you know, got a real close look at it, and I can't remember who the investigator was that worked with him, but they did a real thorough job, and other people that, you know, had interviewed him all were really impressed that with sincerity and, you know, sticking to the same story. And
did it die, or what happened?
Talked to other people that say, you know, bullets can't hurt them, but I've talked to enough people that said they hit them, but so I you know, whether they're paranormal and can go in and out of, you know, dimensions or worlds, you know, like the natives say they walk in both worlds, and if they can vibrate at some kind of frequency that makes them invisible to us, or whether that's extraterrestrial or whatever it is, I don't know. I don't know at this point. I'm dying to know. But yeah, they're not just a normal animal. Like Cliff's convinced that they're, we have these talks all the time, that there's nothing paranormal about them at all. There's no mind speak. There's no this, there's no that, that they're just a big ape with, you know, that are rare and reclusive and smart and fast and have great hearing. And, you know,
is that what Cliff believes?
Oh yeah. Big time. Then,
and I love him. He's cool. He's smart.
Yeah, he's smart. And, but I got the highest respect for Cliff, mm-hmm. for sure. And everyone's entitled to their own opinion, because they're just all opinions. You know, we don't have fact. I mean, other people that have these personal experiences, but you know, if it's not something you can replicate or someone else can go and do the same thing, it's hard to say it's proof. It's your own personal proof, but it's not proof.
Right. We have no idea what these things are, you know, or do you think somebody somewhere does?
Well, you know, there's so many people, it's hard to know, because there's guys I've known that I got to know more, and I go, oh my God, this guy's a nut job, you know, maybe having these experiences, like I've talked to people that have grown up, you know, with Bigfoot, they claim they've had lots of interactions with them since they were young kids, and you know, they're pretty weird people, but maybe it's because you're growing up with these things that people say aren't real, and you're having these encounters with them and interactions, and it could make you seem weird to other people, you know, so then people write you off even more. I mean,
right.
It's hard to know who's nuts or who's just seeking attention or who really believes it, but they're mistaken, or, you know, it's so hard to say. I know what things I've had. I say it on the show all the time. I just edit it out. You know, they don't want to take that angle, but, I mean, I've had some, you know, paranormal type things with them, and,
tell me that.
Well, we were up at this really good squatching spot. We go to, it's near these big Indian burial grounds, and we don't go to the burial grounds. We stay off that, but we go down the valley from them, and it's a really squatchy spot. And one night, I was up there with Cliff, and we heard something coming up through the trees, coming up the canyon along the creek, and then I see this. Well, then I didn't hear anything for a while, and then I see this blue ball of light, like the size of a basketball, maybe.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Floating through the trees, and Cliff actually has an audio recording of it, and he played it back to me one time, and it was a very strange experience, because, you know, it's just floating through the trees, but where it's going, it sounds like a big squatch walking. You know, there's branches breaking, you hear the brush, and I was saying, is that a plane with blue lights? Like, and then I thought I was seeing it through the trees in the distance. Then I saw it go in front of a tree. Then I got a real good look, because I was getting glimpses of it. Then I saw the whole thing just unobstructed go in front of a tree, maybe 75 feet, or I can't remember. I can't really remember how far it was now, but I think it was probably more. It was more than that. It was maybe, I can't even remember now. It was over 100 probably, but I just remember it was the ball, and the sounds coming from where it was going. And then that night,
Wow. So let me ask again. You saw a blue ball, like basketball size, floating through the woods, and it actually had audio, and the audio sounded like a Bigfoot walking through the woods. Oh my gosh, that's unbelievable. Because I've heard the soccer ball size lights, which would be the same as basketball, and I've heard that they're in the areas of where the Bigfoot are, and they see those quite a bit. That's interesting. It's extremely interesting. That's, a lot of people call that an orb. People talk about the little tiny orbs, but these are like these big ones that are floating about 4 foot off the ground or so.
That's exactly about how high this one was, and
Oh, wow.
was even
Interesting.
more was even I was tripping out on it, and later that we went to bed that night, and then I when people talk about that, like feeling of getting zapped or whatever, like you feel like there's like an energy beam hitting you. I got one of those, and my right arm just started shaking and kind of flapping up and down a little bit.
Really?
Yeah, it was real strange. Like, and my heart rate picked up, and I just felt like this crazy energy. And I admit it could be psychosomatic. I could have just been having a weird dream right then or something. It could have just been me, but it sure seemed like it was something external. I interpreted it that way. And the next day, we were hanging out up there, and there's this famous Indian medicine man, Creek medicine man named Charlie Tom. They call him the last wild Indian. And all the other medicine men, when they dedicated that Native American museum in Washington, D.C., back like in 2004, I think it was, it's that huge building in D.C. It's just dedicated to the natives. All the tribes, however many federally recognized tribes there are, had representatives go, and thousands of natives went to D.C. for it. And then the medicine men from each tribe, from the Southwest, East, and North, represent. They all voted one guy to represent their region, their direction. And so there were four, medicine men that represented all the U.S. And those four guys picked this guy, Charlie Tom. So he had grown up wild. Like, he didn't come to town till he was 12 years old. His great grandpa and grandmother had taken him up into the mountains in the 1920s to because that's when they were still killing Indians back then, and also taking the kids and putting them in those boarding schools and beating the Indian out of them. So they took him to the mountains when he was an infant. He grew way up out in the mountains, and he didn't learned to start speaking English till he was, 12, and never had a pair of shoes until then, and blah blah blah. But he was highly respected, and we ran into him the next day, and he was telling a story about he had married a white woman that didn't believe in Bigfoot, so he brought her right to where Cliff and I were, and he'd seen one there back in like the 1940s or 30s or something when he was a kid, and it was right in that same little spot on the creek. And he said, "Well, she didn't believe in Bigfoot, but here he comes up the creek." And I can't remember what he said, but he said something to the effect of, "She didn't know it was him, but I did." And I said, "Well, what? How do you know it was him? Like, what happened?" He goes, "So there was a big blue ball of light came right up the creek." And that was like, 12 hours after I'd had my encounter. And then we talked to him some more, and he told me that his power all came from why all the where he got all his energy and power that he got, that it made him so strong, was he had a huge clump of Bigfoot hairs that he'd gotten from five different spots. Like, one where he saw a huge, like 10-foot-plus male rubbing its back on a tree, like a pine tree scratching its back, and he went over there and collected hairs from that. And then four other times, like, nesting sites, and where I think it went through some thorn bushes, and he got some there, and he just wadded it up all in a ball, and always carried it in his back pocket. That's where he got his power. But
Well, that's interesting. Does he still have that? I mean,
He
would he
passed
even?
away 2, 3 years ago, and someone had stolen it.
Oh, come on. Well, if you're just joining us, we're talking with Bobo of Finding Bigfoot, and we're talking about Bigfoot here on Coast to Coast AM. As you were talking about that last, I don't know why I'm thinking of it, but and you might be upset if I bring it up, but that you. But I got to. You went on it was one of your shows with Finding Bigfoot, and you went to some location. I don't know why they even showed it, but poor you got sicker than a dog, and we all got to see you get sick. What
Oh, that was a
happened?
miserable
You poor
ass.
thing. Yes, I felt for you. I felt
Yeah,
for you. But
we'd got stuck in Kathmandu Airport. We were trying to get up to by the Everest Base Camp and go out to Pingboche and some of those other spots out there. And our helicopters were grounded because it was storming us to Himalayas. And we were in the airport for a couple of days. I mean, there's like raw sewage going across the floor of the, you know, the main terminal, and it's third world. And we'd been in there for 2 days, and I was starving, and everyone was afraid to eat in the diner. I said, shit, I'll try it. And I ate it, and we flew out like an hour later. And then, I got pretty sick. And the next day, I thought I could hold it together while we were filming for the town hall, and I thought I'd get it, but I didn't pull it off.
Yeah, you were turning different colors, it looked like, just on camera. It was like, as bad as it was that, you know, everybody got to see you do that on television for the world to see, I actually rewinded it back and forth over and over again to
Oh,
see
man.
how you were beforehand and say, look, he's getting sick. You can tell he's sick here. He's not feeling good here.
Yeah, I was hurting, I was sweating, I had a fever, and
that's
yeah, it was pretty
terrible.
bad.
Well, did the, because there was like some sort of like tribe kind of thing, you know, going on there. So did they do something to try to heal you and make you better?
Yeah, those guys are on a whole different level. We were pretty far out there, and they don't have any Western medicine or doctors out there, and it's all spirits, and you hire the monks to cure you. I don't know if they had it in that show, but in behind the scenes episode, I can't remember if it was, it's hard for me to remember what's on TV and what's not. And when they were shooting a behind the scenes episode, so there were two camera crews there, so I'm not sure which crew filmed it, but I had that infection on my leg, which they'd misdiagnosed for 2 years. It turned out it wasn't an infection, it was a fungus that I'd picked up down in Sumatra.
Ugh.
And so we went to the Buddhist temple to get cured, and the head monk spit in my leg a bunch of times, and then they prayed and they banged drums and cymbals to scare the evil spirit out of my leg, and that's how they cure stuff out there.
Well, how did it work?
It didn't get worse. It got kind of better. It didn't cure it, but it got somewhat better.
I'll have to remember the spitting in the future. Wow. I don't know. I guess you got to go with it when you're there, right? When in Rome.
Yeah, I wouldn't really recommend having a guy spit on your leg, though.
I agree. I'm with you. I was trying to go with the flow. Poor you. Wow. How did this show happen for you? Because you are legit. You're the real McCoy. You were doing this beforehand, correct? You weren't.
Yeah.
You weren't just pulled out of the crowd and all of a sudden you're saying you're a Bigfooter. You're the real deal.
Yeah, they tried it. They'd shot pilots that never aired, of course, with actors, and when they'd show it to the test groups, I'm on Animal Planet, but we're owned by Discovery. We work for Discovery, and everything goes through Discovery. And Discovery spends, I've heard, almost as much on like research and focus groups and figuring out what people like and don't like. And they spend an insane amount of money on that. And people just said they didn't believe the actors. You know, they just didn't find, you know, it was just too fake. You know, it was like Mountain Monsters, whatever.
Yeah, and that's a show purely for entertainment, you know, purely entertainment. And as you know, some people actually believe that's true.
I'm blown away, yeah.
Well, they do, you know, they do very well on camera. It's very fun to watch. But the only thing that throws everybody off is, you know, because I enjoy television, I'm in it, and I enjoy watching it. However, when people are believing that's the case and they're going, well, how come you all can't catch one because the Mountain Monsters do? And you're like, no, it's a show, you know. But they do have a lot of, you know, facts involved that they talk about. So they come across pretty legit until all of a sudden they find one. And then it's like, no, It's all off the board at that point. So, hey, everybody, we are listening, or you're listening to Coast to Coast AM, and we're talking to Bobo from Finding Bigfoot, the man, you know? You know that voice anywhere. So stick around. We've got more to come, and we're going to have open lines, and you're going to be able to ask him questions as well here on Coast to Coast AM.